WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. More than 60,000 Virginians could be in danger of losing housing as the federal eviction moratorium ends. We have some analysis of next week's special General Assembly session and Carry On, My Wayward Son, Kansas Comes to Virginia. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, July 30th. The Virginia Department of Health reports more than 1,000 daily new cases of COVID-19 in the state for Wednesday. That is the first time the number has topped 1,000 since April, according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. This comes after new CDC guidance that vaccinated people should resume wearing masks indoors to guard against the more contagious Delta variant, which is currently the dominant strain in the country. As of Wednesday, 448 people in Virginia were hospitalized due to COVID-19. A federal eviction ban ends Saturday. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than 60,000 Virginians say they could lose their home soon because they're struggling to make rent. Sam Turkin with partner station at WHRV reports.
Andrew Duncan is a carpenter from Portsmouth. During the pandemic last year, work dried up to the point where he accrued $15,000 in unpaid rent. The federal moratorium blocked his eviction until he got help from a Virginia rent relief program. Work's been better, but if he falls behind again, Duncan fears he won't get so lucky.
I'm still comprehending the pandemic. If you go a week without a paycheck, it's going to set you back a month.
The nationwide eviction ban has been in effect since September.
We are very worried that we're going to see a big uptick in evictions with these protections expiring.
Christine Mera is a housing advocate with the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
Think about how hard it will be for people who are maybe working part-time, who used to work full-time and still trying to get caught up in their rent.
Federal officials have already extended the moratorium several times, but last month the Supreme Court suggested it exceeds the Biden administration's authority and it can't continue any longer. The White House says Congress should pass its own extension as an end-around.
Sam Turkin reporting. Lawmakers are about to appoint a half dozen new appeals court judges. Advocates want to add some diversity to the bench. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
The Virginia Appeals Court currently has 11 members, and it's a bench that does not have a lot of diversity. That's why Senator Scott Surovell, a Democrat from Fairfax County, says adding six new positions to the court will do more than expand the jurisdiction of the court to ensure people have a right to appeal.
The court does not really reflect the demographics of the state. Right now, the court, out of the eight people that will be there after January 1, only one person is a minority, and there's three women. And when we have 17 spots to fill, that's not going to be acceptable. We need to make sure we have a diverse bench.
Republican delegate Jason Meares of Virginia Beach voted against adding the new appeals court judges, and he worries that the move will create a pro-defense, pro-defendant mentality. But he says he supports the idea of making the appeals court more diverse.
I'm proud to have championed diversity on my local judiciary. I pushed for the first African-American judge in the history of Virginia Beach Circuit Court, Judge Duffin, and have consistently said that we need a bench that reflects Virginia and reflects my city of Virginia Beach. So I think that is absolutely a factor everyone should absolutely consider when they view who we elevate to the bench.
Lawmakers will be electing judges to those six new positions, plus filling two vacancies on the court. So that's eight new appeals court judges. Michael Pope.
Well, the General Assembly is back in the Capitol next week for that special session to spend federal stimulus money and appoint those judges to an expanded appeals court. Richmond Times-Dispatch columnist Jeff Shapiro sat down with Michael Pope to break it all down for us. It's a new weekly conversation about Virginia politics and government.
Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, Michael.
Okay, so it's been a minute since members of the General Assembly have been at the Capitol for a session. In fact, they haven't been inside of the House chamber or the Senate chamber since March 2020. So this special session will be very special for something that wouldn't really seem all that special under normal circumstances. But these are not normal times. In fact, the economic crisis caused Congress to make it rain with the American Rescue Plan, sending $4.3 billion, that's billion with a B, to Virginia. Now, Jeff Shapiro, that's a huge chunk of change for the Commonwealth. And Governor Ralph Northam has already committed most of it, right? What does the governor want to spend all that money on?
Nothing pleases a politician more than spending your money, particularly in an election year. These are rescue dollars, courtesy of the Biden administration and the Democrats in Congress. Republicans opposed this round of relief. And the Democrats want to use this money on those programs that have special appeal to Democratic voters. So that includes the expansion of broadband. That includes strengthening the mental health system. That includes improving the heating and air conditioning systems in public schools, improving ventilation, something particularly important as we claw our way through this pandemic. And then also a huge investment, close to $900 million, in the unemployment system of this state. The trust fund, which pays out all those jobless benefits, took a huge hit because of the pandemic and its detrimental effect on employment. And the double whammy was that the Virginia Employment Commission, the agency that hands out these dollars, was overwhelmed by these claims, and the system practically collapsed.
So lawmakers won't just be spending all that stimulus cash. They'll also be appointing several new appeals court judges. Now, until the beginning of this month, Virginia was the only state in the country that did not guarantee a right to appeal. Now, the jurisdiction of the appeals court has been expanded, and people finally have the ability to appeal rulings that are bad or corrupt or just plain wrong. Jeff Shapiro, this is the first time since the appeals court was created back in the 1980s that so many judges have been appointed all at once. How's that going to work?
And so many judges appointed all at once by the new Democratic majority. And keep in mind what those Democrats have been doing, the focus on criminal justice reform, the focus on racial equity. So these Democrats are clearly looking for judges who are going to be affirming some of this new thinking. And so there are at least 43 candidates under consideration for 7 seats, likely 8, because we're anticipating another retirement. And a bit of news, Bill Mims, who is a justice of the Supreme Court, has indicated to the governor and the legislative leadership that he will not be seeking reappointment next year. So the legislature that is seated in January, assuming it still has a Democratic majority, we'll have to choose a new Supreme Court justice, and it'll be the first time in a while that Democrats would have done so.
All right, so I guess we'll have to come back around to this next week to figure out how the special session shaped up, or maybe if it's still going on.
Looking forward to that conversation.
Republican candidate for Governor Glenn Youngkin proposes using more than half of the Commonwealth's estimated $2.6 billion budget surplus on a tax rebate for Virginians. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that Youngkin is calling on the state to send $300 to individuals and $600 to families. Youngkin also wants to delay the implementation of a new higher tax on gas by 1 year. The special session next week will not make a final decision on how to spend that extra relief money from the federal government. That decision will come in January after the November elections for governor and the House of Delegates. Finally today, classic rock comes to the Valley this weekend. Here's WMRA's Chris Boros.
American progressive rock giants Kansas are celebrating their 47th anniversary with a concert Saturday night as part of the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival in Orkney Springs. The band's current lead singer, Ronnie Platt, had the difficult task of replacing Steve Walsh, the band's original singer. Platt's been with the group for 7 years and is featured on their last 2 studio albums. I had a chance to talk with Ronnie Platt, and I asked him what it was like becoming the lead singer for a band as big as Kansas.
Talk about counting your blessings, a mountain of anxiety with me, but I said to myself, you know, if I win half the fans over, I'm going to be happy. From my perspective now, I think I've won over 90% of the fans, if not more. It's just been great. I really think it's shown just in the time that I've been in the band that the audiences have gotten bigger and bigger. And outside of that, the audiences have gotten younger, which is restores my faith in the youth of America.
Woven in a fantasy, I can't believe the things I see. The path that I have chosen now has led me to a wall. And with each passing day, I feel a little more like something dear was lost.
To know the kids are into this kind of music, and I think what really propelled us there was our association with the TV show Supernatural, where they unofficially adopted Wayward Son as their theme song.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
I wonder if these last two studio records that the band has made has made an impact on that. I mean, the most recent one, The Absence of Presence, it reached number 10 on the Billboard album chart. You guys have got to be thrilled that the new material is getting so much love and praise from the fans.
It has? No. Yeah. Let me tell you, we're really proud of them. And what really blows my mind is how well it's been received in Europe. Like number one in Sweden or Norway, then number two in the UK. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The kudos there really go to Phil and Rich, Phil Lehart, original drummer, Rich Williams, original guitar player, Kansas. After all these years, still having a desire to put out new music to still satisfy that creative vein that they have, just adding to the library of Kansas music, which is already very rich.
How important is it for the band to keep making new albums? I mean, is there another one in the pipeline?
That is an amazing thing. If I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. Yeah, it just seems to be typical Kansas work ethic to just not only do these shows, but to keep the creative juices flowing. And yeah, do I see us doing another studio album? Yeah, probably for release in 23. Unlike some bands that had some popularity with a album or one or two albums, you know, again, Kansas. Chris, it's why I don't make the set list. Because if I made the set list, our show would be 5 hours long.
Make the set list. We want 5-hour Kansas shows.
I'll be fine.
Kansas is playing the Shenandoah Valley Saturday night. What can we expect?
This band just bursting at the seams to get out and bring our show to our audience. Everyone's been cooped up. It's time to get out and enjoy some live music. And Kansas can't wait to bring it to you. Firing on all cylinders.
Well, Ronnie, I want to thank you for your time today. And thank you for keeping the music of Kansas alive. It's been an honor to talk to you today.
Chris, what a pleasure. Really looking forward to this show, and we'll see you then.
Kansas plays Saturday night in Orkney Springs as part of the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival. For details and to hear a longer version of this interview and more Kansas, visit WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Liberty. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Friday.